Welcome to the Light Church Podcast. This is David Oakes. I am pastor of the Light Church Fellowship in Bartlesville, Oklahoma, and I am founder of Israel Study Tours with David Oakes and David Oakes Ministries. Thanks for joining me for this latest edition of the Light Church Podcast. Over the last few podcasts, we have been studying the subject of the fix. Now, we have actually taken these sermons from our services that we hold here at the Light Church Fellowship, which is located at 1244 Southeast Washington Boulevard in Bartlesville, Oklahoma. Now, the first sermon, because of its length, we actually divided up and we played it on three separate podcasts. The second one we divided because of its length, and we played it on the next two podcasts. And today we begin with the third sermon, and it will be divided between two podcasts. We try to keep our podcast about 30 minutes long so that the downloads are not too large for people to download. So we invite you to sit back and listen to this sermon, the third sermon of the series. Now, the first sermon was entitled The Fix, but we dealt with the raven. The second sermon, we dealt with the widow. And today, we begin by looking at the angels. First half of this sermon, we're playing now. Now, at the conclusion of this podcast, I'll be back with some information and some announcements. So be blessed. We believe in the name of Jesus. You'll learn something from today's study. Bye-bye for now. On Sunday morning, December the 18th, 2005, the year of the Lord spoke this through me. 2006 is the year for the fix. Hallelujah. So today we're going to continue to look at what the Lord spoke to me on Tuesday evening, December 26, 2005. For it was that evening that the Lord began to deal with me in my spirit on the subject of the fix after what he had spoken to me on December 18th. So we started out two Sunday mornings ago defining the word fix. Fix, to make firm, stable, or stationary. To give a permanent or final form to. I believe the final form's coming, glory to God. To change into a stable compound or available form. To set or place definitely. To establish. Here's the one that really got me going. To set in order. So 2006 is the year to set things in order. To adjust. To get ready. To prepare. To repair, to mend, to restore, and to cure. 2006, then, is the year for the fix. It is the year to make firm, stable, stationary, to give a permanent or final form to set or place definitely, to establish, to set in order, to adjust, to get ready, to prepare, to repair, to mend, to restore, to cure. This is the year to set in order in a multitude of realms for the church and for you individually. Praise the Lord. There are things that have to be done, and God is doing them. Glory to God. Now, we started using, because of the words to set in order, it took me over to Elijah, where we've studied out of 1 Kings, the 17th chapter, and then later on 1 Kings, the 19th chapter, because there it talks about God commanding the raven and commanding the widow, and the words in Hebrew means to set in order, and of course from past study, that came up on the inside of me, so I went over there and I began to look at what God set in order, and when I started meditating on it, I began to see that God was painting pictures with objects that he was using. He used a raven to paint a picture. He used the widow to paint a picture. And then in 1 Kings, which we're going to look at today, he was using an angel, 1 Kings 19, he was going to use an angel to paint pictures. Now, each one of them were actually used by God, but not only was a raven used, that raven was to paint a bigger picture, glory to God, of something that God was getting ready to do. Not, he used a widow, but the widow was painting a picture. He used an angel. He's still using angels, but the angels are painting pictures for us in 1 Kings, the 19th chapter. So why don't we go over to 1 Kings 17, first of all, and we'll just do a little brief review for those who haven't been with us. I would really suggest that you obtain the tapes or the CDs and just go through them. Praise the Lord. I believe it'll be a blessing. Chapter 17, even if you've heard it once, you need to hear it two or three times. Amen. Chapter 17, we know what happens. He prays, there's not any rain, and the word of the Lord comes in verse 2. And he says, get thee hence and turn thee eastward and hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens. The word commanded is set in order. God said, I have set in order the ravens to feed thee. And so we began to look at the raven. And we found out that the raven was a picture being painted us of the world. And how God was setting in order in this year, which would tell me this is the end of days. How God is setting in order the world to bring wealth into those inside the kingdom of God. We said it this way, God has set in order the world to give to the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. They were sent out to discover the ways of the world system. They learned how to work it. And they worked it almost to perfection, we said. This was to provide for the church in this last day so that we can make friends with the mammon of unrighteousness. Money's going to come in so that we can take that money and then bring more people into the kingdom of God with that money that is coming from the outside into the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. You're going to find out today, and we're going to say it again, it's not all about you and it's not all about me. It's about people. It's about bringing people into the kingdom of God. Amen. And God's going to begin to set it in order in a myriad of different ways. Praise the Lord. Praise be unto God. Praise be unto God. Then we looked over in Exodus, the 3rd chapter, verse 20, where the Lord told the children of Israel to ask of the Egyptians, and the Egyptians would give unto them their silver, give unto them their gold, give unto them their precious items. And we found out that it was in the hyphal mode or the causal mode in Hebrew. In other words, they went to them because some of us said, well, I don't know how the world is ever going to bring in their money. Well, this tells us because it's happened once. The world, the enemy, came to Israel and said, the hyphal mode, ask us for anything that you want from us and we'll give it to you. Anything you want. Matter of fact, we press you to ask us. And we're not going to be happy unless you do ask us. And they press. Don't think that's odd, because God told us through the mouth of Jesus, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them. In other words, I can go to the Lord and ask for anything that I want. God has told me, ask me for whatever you want. Well, if that's good enough for God, then it's no problem for the world to start coming to you and saying, whatever you want, whatever you want. Now start changing your brain. Granville, change your mind. Change your mind to these things. When people come to you and say, Granville, I want to give you something. You just ask me what I want. Don't start thinking you have to bargain with them. Well, let me give you something in return. Now, that's a special word right there. You say, okay, this is what I want. And you be bold enough to say it without any reciprocal agreement. Well, okay, you know, I feel wrong about taking this from you. So here, I'm going to spend hours more of my time and hours more of my money to give it back. That's not what God doesn't want us to exchange properties. God wants the properties to come into the body of Christ,
Not on an See, that's a reworking of our mind. You don't know how many times I've kicked the stones. People say, whatever you need, just tell me what you need. I really don't need anything now. You drop your head and you start kicking stones. You ever been there? Am I the only one? Because there's something about it. When we just don't want to say what we want. Be bold in this hour. The world's going to press us to get saved. Brian, man, just tell me what you want, man. So the raven is a picture of the world. God's going to set the world into place. And then we go on down into verse 8. And we find about the widow of Zarephath. And we found out so many wonderful things about the widow. In fact, we found out so many things that you need to get that tape of last week. But God said in order the widow woman. It's just not a widow woman. It's a brushstroke of the master. And he's painting a picture. And we found out, glory to God, that this is a painting for us of a picture of one who is no longer married to the law. The law is dead to them. Yet they have not gone on to relationship, deeper relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And just as she lived in the territorial possessions of Israel, on the outer parameters of Israel's possessions, in the north, the furthest from Jerusalem, this is a picture that's being painted of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ that's living on the outer parameters of their Christian relationship. But even the oil was out there. Asher, glory to God, was fruitful in olive trees and in olive presses, and there was an abundance of oil. Even on the outer part of the relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, let me tell you something, even out there, the anointing's still out there. Even out there, the anointing still reaches out there, glory to God. Praise the Lord. She was the one. She was like the church that operates out in sin consciousness. And we found that out. But gradually, as things happened, she finally came to a place. Glory to God. Came to a place that she recognized that God was God. And even the man of God was speaking the word of God. Hallelujah. And so God is going to take those who are living on the outer parameters of the Christian experience and is going to set them in order in this end day, glory to God. So it's not all dealing with the world. There are things that need to be done on the inside of the church also. Praise the Lord. With people. God's going to set them in order and they're going to be productive in this end time. And as we continue this morning with angels, you're going to see just how important your life is to the Lord and how it's not going to get done until we all get it done. In the words of Oklahoma, get her done. Praise the Lord. I got to get me one of those bumper stickers. Don't go buy me one, please. Somebody go buy me one for a joke. Don't do it. Get her done. Hallelujah. That's my wife and I's new catchphrase with each other. Get her done. 1 Kings 19, if you would, please. Not a 15-minute review of last week. Oh, my goodness. I meditated on this and meditated on it. And my head hit the bed two nights ago, and the Spirit of the Lord just unrolled it to me. Finally. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Don't get shaky with God. He didn't have the same clock you do. Verse 1, and Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and withal how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, so let the gods do to me, and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. Well, remember, he had killed the prophets of Baal, and it ticked off Jezebel. Going on, it says, and when he saw that, he arose and went for his life and came to Beersheba, which belongeth to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree. And he requested for himself that he might die and said, it is enough. Now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my father's. And as he lay and slept under a juniper, everybody say slept. Slept. Would you please say that once again? Slept. And as he lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold, then an angel, would you please say angel? An angel touched him and said unto him, arise and eat. Now, we have been following the premise that God set in order with the raven and with the widow. Now, as you remember 2 weeks ago, I touched on this a little bit because the Lord spoke to me one night when I was getting ready to go to sleep, and he told me as I was going through my confessions of Psalm 91. In fact, you can turn to Psalm 91 with me if you would like. And I confess it every night. I speak it over you. I speak it over my family. Glory, I speak it over the church, all of the possessions, every single night before I sleep. Psalm 91. And I got down in my confession to verse 11. For he shall give his angels charge. And the Spirit of the Lord spoke in my spirit and said, that's the same Hebrew word. Because I'd been studying and I put the Bible down. So I quickly awakened. I was not nearly as tired as I thought I was. And I got my concordance and looked. And we have been looking to set in order is the Hebrew word tzavah. And I got the concordance and this same word charge is the same Hebrew word that was translated commanded twice in 1 Kings 17. And concerning our angels, he set in order his angels. So we could read it this way. It says, for he shall give his angels charge over thee. He shall set in order his angels over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. Now, I don't know whether to preach this now or preach it later. Maybe I'll preach it later and I'm going to keep myself from preaching that now. Zip it. Because there's a truckload of insight into God's word in that one scripture read that way. So go back with me, if you would please, to 1 Kings 19. So God is keeping everything decently in order, and he's telling us that he set in order angels the same as he set in order ravens, the same as he set in order widows. Now he is setting in order an angel. He is putting things in the proper order to get his will, plan, and purpose to come about in this life. Amen. You all see that?
Yes.
Okay? Now go back here with me if you would please. Because I want you to remember with me that we have been using the widow and using the raven to paint a picture. It is no different with the angel. Get your mind off the fact of the angel, the heavenly creature, and see that God is painting us a picture here also. He did use an angel. He will use angels for us. But this is also painting us a picture. And so we have to establish who the angel is. Now look here with me, if you would please, in verse 5 of 1 Kings 19. Hallelujah. Maybe we ought to look at verse 2 first, and then we'll go to verse 5. Verse 2, then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah. Everybody said messenger. So here comes a messenger from the evil woman. And this messenger is bearing bad tidings of curse. I mean, he's not bearing good tidings. He is bearing words that are going to cause depression and discouragement in this one. Everybody, would you please say messenger. Go down to verse 5. And as he lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold, then an angel touched him. Say angel one more time.
Angel.
Now, this word for messenger in verse 2 in Hebrew is the Hebrew word malach. It's important because it means a messenger. But also the word angel in verse 5 is the exact same word. It means messenger. Everybody say messenger. So the picture is being painted for us that the evil one sent his messenger, but now God is sending his messenger. And his messenger's got words. And his messenger's got actions. We'll have to find out who that messenger is in just a moment. We'll just define it now. The raven is a picture of those in the world that will bring the wealth into the church. The widow is a picture of the part of the church that is living on the outer perimeter of the Christian experience. The angel is a picture of the church that is living in the center of their Christian experience. We'll show it and prove it in just a moment. Those who, because of Christian maturity, are sent with a message to feed and to touch the troubled part of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. They are, in contrast to Elijah, Elijah is the sleeping church. And we'll look at Scripture in just a moment. The angel is painting a picture of the church that is mature and the church that is awake. The church that's asleep has cashed in the chips. They don't know what hour they're living in. They're asleep to the day. They're asleep to the fact that God's got a plan for their life. They're asleep to the fact that God, before the foundations of the earth, called them forth before they were even born, before their parents came together, to provide certain essential elements to get God's plan done. Every one of you in here. Some people don't know it, but God wants you to know. So God is setting in order messengers in this hour to do something to wake up the church. Now here's an interesting thing, and I don't want to confine it totally to this definition, but I want you to get the New Testament sense of it. This is it specifically, but I believe that the angel is speaking of something, the painting that's being painted for us is speaking of something much more general. When it talked about an angel in the New Testament, the definition is a messenger especially an angel, by implication, a pastor, Strong's Concordance says. So specifically, it's talking about a certain kind of messenger. But I believe in general, it's talking about anybody in the body of Christ, this picture, that brings forth the message of something. And we're going to see that message in just a second. Amen? And it's to wake up the church. Everybody say messenger. Let's look here in verse 5 again. And as he lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold then an angel, a messenger, touched him and said unto him, arise and eat. Notice what the angel, the mature believer, did. The messenger, he touched him. In Matthew 8:3, I like it because it says, and Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. I was quite amazed when I looked up the word touch in the Greek text, because it means to fasten to, hence, to kindle a fire. Jesus stretched forth his hand and touched him and kindled a fire. Well, the messengers that are being set in order in this day, glory to God, are going to reach forth to the sleeping church and touch them, glory to God, and fire is going to be part of the touch, the fire of God. And then notice what he did when he touched him. The next thing he did, he said, arise and eat. Verse 6 says, and he looked, and behold, there was a cake baking on the coals and a cruse of water at his head, and he did eat and drink and laid him down again. So here's the sleeping church. The touch comes from the messenger. And what does the messenger do? Arise and eat. What does he give to him to eat? He gave him a cake and gave him some water. Types of the Word of God and the Holy Ghost. So here's this one called a messenger, and he said, wake up out of your sleep. Arise, get up out of your sleep. You've heard me say it. Get up, rise up. God's got more for you now. God's got bigger things for you. God's got bigger things for you. Glory to God. And then tell you, listen to his word and wake up out of your sleep. You're never going to know what God wants for you to do in your life. You're never going to find out what God wants for you running away from God and sleeping all the time. He's talking about sleeping, slumbering spiritually. Hello, church. Amen. I said, hello, church. Amen. Now, look over to 1 Thessalonians, if you would, please. Verse 5, before I go on any further. 1 Thessalonians, chapter 5. Hallelujah. Verse 4. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that the day should overtake you as a thief. You are all the children of light, and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep, as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. And let us who are of day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. Now, it's not talking about somebody who's sleeping physically. It's talking about somebody who is asleep spiritually. They don't know what's going on. They don't know what God's wanting to do in them. They don't know what God's wanting to do on the outside. Doesn't know what God wants to do in the world. Doesn't know what God wants to do in the church. They are asleep and slumbering to the plan and the will of God. They are drunken on the things of darkness. They would rather be tied up watching stupid television shows than studying the Word of God. They would rather have a stupid movie stuck in that's rated R that is spreading all kinds of darkness, sin, and corruption than to open up the Word of life that changes lives. I mean, it's time we wake up. I'm being a messenger this morning, church. It's time the church wake up. There's more to life than what's out there. This is where life begins. And so this messenger is going to say, with the fire of the Lord, he's going to say, get up, arise, to a certain part of the church. Now, your certain part of the church could be your relatives. Don't wait till the end before you find out if your relatives are born again or not. You find out today, because tomorrow could be too late. They need to awaken to some things. You need to find out. Praise the Lord, you need to find out. Now go back to 1 Kings 19, if you would, please. Verse 7. And the angel of the Lord came again the second time. So here comes the messenger one time, and he says, get up, eat and drink. Then he comes the second time and says, get up, wake up, eat, drink. Get up, wake up. So one time wasn't enough. He had to come two times. It's showing us that there's a multiplication here. You're not going to get it done in one time.
Praise the Lord. This is Pastor David Oaks once again. I hope that you enjoyed the first portion of the third sermon of the series that we call The Fix. Now, these sermons were preached at the Light Church Fellowship, which is located at 1244 Southeast Washington Boulevard in Bartlesville, Oklahoma. We invite you, if you're in the area, to drop by and see us at the Light Church. We would love to have you. And when you come, notify our door greeters, glory to God, and ultimately me, that you came because you heard us on the Light Church podcast. Now remember, you can reach us online by going to davidoaksministries.org. And you can find out about our Israel work. You can find out about our missions work. You can find out my history, my wife's history. We have on there even personal things about us, things that we enjoy to do, because we want people to get to know us a little better in the natural also. Now, this is Pastor David once again, and we're going to be signing off for now, but join us again for our next podcast for the conclusion of the series called The Fixed. Be blessed in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Bye-bye for now.